I like lots of things, but there are three things I like most. Love, love, and love, and love, and love, and love. And love.
Frequency transmission receiving, 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 receiving. You're about to experience ultrasounds, an uplifting soulful journey into the spheres of exotic electronic music. Brought to you by DJ E-Love. This is the Ultrasounds Show, and my name is E-Love.
Currently have lucky man Carl Palmer from Emerson, Lake & Palmer on the phone, live and direct. We're going to be speaking with Carl in just a moment. Carl.
Hello.
Greetings. What a wonderful intro, eh?
Fantastic. I love the intro, yeah.
Welcome to the Ultrasound Show, and thank you so much for taking time out. I know this is the middle of your North American tour, and...
This is the end, E-Love. We have four to go, promoting the first album, Working Live Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Brilliant.
And we would have played 33 concerts by the time we finished. So we're very, very happy. We're playing for about 2 hours, and we're playing original pieces of music from Emerson, Lake & Palmer, such as Tarkus and Tank and Trilogy. And the rest of the music are that we play classical adaptations from Bartok to Prokofiev to Aaron Copland, the great American composer. So it's quite an interesting show.
Nice.
And you can see all of these, all of the dates and reviews. We have some fantastic reviews all on the website, www.carlpalmer.com.
Wonderful. Where are you now?
Where am I now? I'm on a road, and I'm sort of going somewhere. I think it's called Texas. It's at the bottom part of America. I'm going to a little town called Austin, and I should be there in about 3 days' time when I pick to go in.
So in 1970, Keith Emerson, Greg Lake and yourself formed the band Emerson, Lake & Palmer, which was almost Hendrix Emerson, Lake & Palmer. Help. Let's go in there.
What's happening, E-Love? You're reading the papers and you're reading all the gossip lines. Hendrix never played with us. That was only... something that was put together with various journalists who wished that would happen. But Hendrix never turned up at a rehearsal or played with the band at any time at all in the career of the group.
Well, this brings me to my next question, though, because many of the musicians during that time period, including Jimi Hendrix, didn't make it through. So here we are in 2006, and I would like to know, how did you get through? How it mustn't have been an easy ride for you, despite all of the recognition. In fact, to me, it seems like it's been a very difficult path to follow, being a musician worldwide.
It's okay, as long as you keep your head down and pay attention. Listening to me now. I was up to my neck in muck and bullets, but everything was fine. No, to be honest with you, yes, a lot of musicians didn't make it, but that's up to them. How you want to control your lifestyle, how you want to sort of live, is down to the individual. And if you choose to go those particular routes which are harmful, then that's up to you. I didn't do that, nor did any of the members of ELP. So we were a very sort of clean band from that point of view.
And was this something that you decided as a team, as a band, or individuals, and then came together, hey, we're all on the same wavelength?
It was a very, very simple thing. I just didn't want to be a drug addict or an alcoholic, you know. It's very simple. not complicated. Not complicated.
So what is your philosophy then on growing and surviving as a musician, if you look back to those early times, in terms of your own personal growth, starting from the band? Okay, so that everyone was clean in the band, there had to be some shortcomings or things to overcome on the road, on the path.
There's always various things. You know, there's so many things. I don't really know where to start. I mean, the fact that the bass player's just left the van, it's been caught short, is probably one of the things, and he's crouching behind the bush with a toilet roll in his hand. That's just one of the many things, one of the joys of life. But that happened, yeah. I mean, there's many things that he loves. What can I tell you? I mean, I don't know where to start. Is there any particular area you'd like me to talk about?
Well, mostly about any experience that you might have had that you might want to share. That would shed a little bit of insight, because a lot of people have misconceptions about people in bands, famous people. It's all like, oh, wonderful, this life is wonderful, they're fabulous.
Well, it's it's a job, isn't it? You have to maintain your health, you have to maintain your craft, you have to look after yourself. It's like anything else, you know. When you are a musician, you are looking at a situation where you are trying to better yourself every day. You're trying to get better. At the same time, the public are paying money to see you play, to buy your product. You've got to remain creative. You've got to remain very serious. These are a big responsibility. But of course, people are only creative a certain period of time, and people, you know, stop it in period. So all of these things have to sort of be looked into, and you have to realize that every band has a very short life. The creative period of Emerson, Lake & Palmer was absolutely fantastic. And when the down period hit, it was incredibly down. So you can't, it's hard to sort of say what was good and bad, because basically it all had happened to make it happen. And there were some extremely funny things. I remember seeing Keith Emerson playing in a room in upstate New York, and there was a hole in the ceiling, the snow coming into the dressing room, and he took no notice, and he was just there practicing his piano. We came back, there's a pile of snow in the dressing room, you know. I mean, there's many, many funny things. I fell off stage one day, and I cracked my 11th rib, ended up in a hospital in Illinois. The hospital was called, the town was called Normal, Illinois. Well, there was nothing normal about going to a hospital with a broken 11th rib. So these things, you know, there's a thousand and one things, you know. There are just almost too many over a 16-year period working together solidly to be talking about.
Yes, a lot of trials and tribulations, I would understand.
Yes. The responsibility, though, is for you to create and be good at what you do, you know, and that's the main thing, you know, that's why we do it. You shouldn't do this for fame or for money. You should do it because you enjoy your art. That's what it's all about. If you enjoy it, you can do it for many, many years at a very high standard.
At that period where you first started, did you have any perceivable conception of what would happen with Emerson, Lake & Palmer and your career?
No.
So pretty much none whatsoever.
Yeah, I never have any idea. I mean, because, you know, you have be successful, you'd like it to be successful, but you're going to do what you believe in, and what you believe in is you want to do. If millions of people agree with you, then yes, you've got it right. You can't just to make records or just...
You're cutting out on the phone.
I'm in the same place. We're actually parked now, so this is going to be difficult to sort of carry on this possibly, but yeah, I mean, that's the story there, yeah.
So when you're off the road, you do the drum clinics, and
yes,
apparently some of these drum clinics are for aspiring and also master drummers. But there's another area where you work, which is with deaf children in schools for the blind children. And how did the drum clinics with these kids come about?
Well, I've got a company called Drum Clinics UK, and you can go to www.carlpalmer.com and you can read various testimonials from these schools. It's the Deaf and Blind Association of Great Britain that I work with. And I've developed a program for deaf children, and the second program was for blind children. And these have worked successfully now for about 3 years. I'm very happy to do it. It's something which is quite an easy thing to facilitate. I could deal with as many as 50 children at a time. They're usually split into three groups. And obviously, I can do more with the blind children than I can with the deaf children, the deaf children being the biggest challenge of all. I was told by a headmaster of a private school for girls that I visited one day, because they had about six or seven drummers who were really good, and I was asked and asked repeatedly to go to this school and give a music class. And I really didn't want to do that because I only ever teach professional drummers, and I perform master classes for maybe 100, 200 drummers, which they come in and watch me sort of show off. And I, you know, do whatever I have to do in those two things. This particular private class that I gave to these seven girls, I managed to have a meeting with the headmaster and some of the people from the local educational committee about, you know, what was the state of education in England and what was the problem and where were the downfalls and what was going wrong and what could be improved. And they immediately said, well, our biggest area of, not of defeat, but our biggest area of being problematical in more than one way is the amount of music therapy that blind children get and deaf children get.
Mm.
They get X amount, but it's never enough. Anyway, a year after that, I developed a program. I thought about it for about 9 months, and I got a program together that I knew would work. So I contacted the local deaf association, and I tried to sort of sort out a day with some deaf children to try some stuff out, and it was highly successful. I actually tried it out in my hometown, Birmingham, which is in the Midlands. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, it worked incredibly well, and that was it. And, you know, everything was well. You know.
So what's your main focus with these kids who are physically challenged?
Well, basically, it's to get them to work in large groups. You
okay.
know, large groups. I mean, basically, you have to understand they only ever work in 2, 3, 4 children at a table. This way, if I have 50 children, they can end up working in groups of 20, 18, and there's 3 sets of groups. So, you know, there might even be 4. So they get a chance to experience real community, gang-type association. You know, they feel part of something. You know, they feel part of a large group, and they don't normally have that facility. So it's very important, you know.
So obviously this would build the kids' self-esteem as well.
It builds their self-esteem. It builds their enthusiasm. It gives them a reason to want to try new things. The drum is like the very first instrument to man, as you know. And I give them all these small hand drums to play, to put between their legs, under their arms, or whatever they want to do. The idea of the drum is not to turn them into drummers, but to turn them into people who can communicate when they do have disabilities on a very high level. And at the end of an hour's sort of therapy or music felicitation they have with me, with this drum, they end up having a very clear idea of what it's like working in large teams of people, which is something they don't normally experience.
Gorgeous. What are some of your secrets for working with the physically challenged kids?
There aren't any secrets, really. The real secret is patience and consideration, and that's what it's all about.
Does it take a long time for them to catch on, or are they pretty much fast?
I think if you're looking at a period of an hour, of which we only ever play for about 55 minutes because there's a 5-minute break, it takes about 10 minutes before they're tuned in.
Oh, my goodness.
It's as quick as that. The program works remarkably well because it's not about playing. It's about communicating. And you'd be surprised at how good deaf children and blind people and blind children can actually communicate. They can communicate incredibly well.
Mm.
All their senses are unbelievable. So it's a joy to do. It's something I enjoy doing. It's a way of giving back something. It's an area that's not been dealt with before. I feel very confident that more people will do this type of felicitation in the future. And I think the world would be a lot better for these children after having this therapy. I've been to schools now 3 times, the same school, just to try and, you know, help the situation, to try and improve what's going on. And I can truthfully say that when you see them the second time around, they're brighter, they're more joyous. It's definitely uplifting, you know. It's great to see.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would have to be impactful for you in your life as well.
It's extremely impacting, and you know, it's just an area that's not been dealt with, so it's fresh territory, and you know, it's nice. It's nice covering something that has not been completely exploited before.
What about coming to the United States doing the same thing?
I would very much like to. I just haven't got that set up yet to do that. One of my main sponsors that helps me supplies me with these hand drums for these children is in America, so there'd be no problem in doing it. I'm really looking for the invite, or looking at a way that I can come across and try this and try and get this happening in such a way where it will be something which would really work in a big, big way, you know. I personally think that, you know, people should go to the website, they should read the various testimonials that have come in, and the website being, as I say, carlpalmer.com, and just see what's gone down. And if you can spread the word for me, that would be great as well, because it is something that I will do later on in life a lot more, at this moment in time, I've dedicated probably a month each year for the last three years to doing this. I've been doing drum clinics and master classes for many, many years. Under a company that I've got, which is Drum Clinics UK, we've existed now for the last 5.5, coming into our 6th year. But this part of the education, blind and deaf children, has been with me for at least 3 now. So, yes, I would be ready to bring it here, providing, you know, I could set it up properly and there was the places to do it.
Gorgeous. Thank you so much for doing this too. This is absolutely wonderful. Wherever you do it, it's really profound and wonderful, wonderful work from the heart.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for joining us, Carl.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to speak to you, E-Love. That was an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, sweetheart, likewise.
And, well, hopefully you'll come and see us play one day. You know,
brilliant.
In the Florida area.
We've got to get you here.
All right. Next time I'm in Florida, I'll come by and say hi.
Thank you, sweetheart. And for all the listeners, you can log on to carlpalmer.com for information on Carl's workshops and tours. Many blessings and much love. Thank you, sweetheart.
Thank you. Nice to speak to you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, love. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We've been speaking with Carl Palmer from Emerson Lake and Palmer. Ultrasounds, brought to you by DJ E-Love.